can't tell if I need to burp or if I'm just nervous.
You're not nervous. This is I know. This every day.
It's been a while, isn't it? It's been a long time. Anyway.
Been a while. Yeah.
Hey.
Hey.
I was stained, eh? I was stained. Anyway, it's us again. Welcome to the Spooky Park Bench. My name is Mike Simon. I'm a photographer in the United Kingdom. Over the Atlantic is my pal, my best pal. It's Christopher Stern.
Hey, I am also a commercial photographer and the host of the YouTube channel, The Photo Department.
He is. Yeah, I thought you was going to say the host of the Spooky Park Bench, but we know that because he's.
We know that. I never talk about how I'm the host of the Photo Department on here because I just assume that people hear from that and come here and know that already, but I should say that more.
What are you trying to say? That it's not the my 17 followers on Instagram?
I think that's
actually after my grand died, 16. But like,
Jesus, dark, very dark.
Start as you mean to go on. It's good to be back.
Well, what have you been up to, man? It's been a minute. We haven't done this in a while.
I've had some stuff going on. But we won't talk about that stuff. But I've been working, which is good.
You've been posting some new food photography work that's been very good.
Yeah. Do you know, it came to me and through the medium of other people and common sense that I should stop just posting stuff I take pictures of every now and again and focus on posting maybe my work.
Hey, that's an idea.
To get some work. So I decided to do that. And then, do you know, I had that problem of like, how do you go about doing that? Because I don't want my feed to just become some inconsistent mess. So I was like, do I start another Instagram account? And I was like, well, then I'd have four, including Spooky Park Bench.
Yeah.
And it was just a faff. So I was like, do I break it up by just like putting in some blank squares or do I just start posting?
Here's my take on it from someone who's fought against and about around it for so long. Your Instagram is just like how I view it is like a rolling kind of portfolio. It's like what you're working on currently, what you're proud of, maybe some old stuff, whatever you want, because it's Instagram. It's not your portfolio. I think what you should do is post what you want and then, you know, just point your Instagram to your portfolio for relevant things. Like, I don't think it needs to be so highly curated that you're not enjoying it. I think like, and I've really let go of that and I've been enjoying it a lot more.
I hear that. You know, I think that I like that. I think part of it down to me is that I sort of want to, it's that sort of, the artist side of me that wants to be recognized for like sort of doing some artistic work as opposed to the reality, which is I like doing my commercial work. I like that work. Like, it's just that if you put that out there, you know, you're a commercial food photographer. You can just
not play within those rules and just post whatever the fuck you want and then let your website carry that. Cause for me, it's totally like if I want to worry about what, you know, looks the best for getting clients or finding work, it's like my website is the best way to like do that. I think clients are still really ripped depending on that. Instagram's a component of that, but it's not. I think everyone kind of understands that like Instagram can be really personal for most people. And I think that think about trying to like I roundly like neglect my Photo Department Instagram for the most part, because while I think it's important to have a separate Instagram for that, for the Photo Department, because it's like very specific to that, it's hard to just like wrap my head around having to deal with that on a daily basis, because it's just not, it's not my daily life. It's not like what I'm actually doing and focusing on. And so it's just like,
so yeah, I think
the days are gone of Instagrams that are highly curated, unless you're doing something very specific that's like, needs that high end of curation.
I think, you know? I've decided I'm going to start taking things like that a bit more seriously though, and start trying to like build a bit more of a brand idea of who I am and what I do commercially, as opposed to just like, you know,
you have the Mike Sim one and then you have the Mike Sim photo one. You already have two separate accounts.
Yeah. So the Mike Sim photo is going to be where my commercial work goes. And then the Mike Sim one, I'm going to start popping my other stuff on.
If you already have those things, I mean, you know, you can't really know till you try, I guess. So I would
say you can't. You just can't. You just can't know.
It might work super well for you. Your commercial work is really stylized too. Like, it's very like high end looking. So I guess it would maybe make sense for you specifically to have that be living in its own space, you know?
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Thanks for the high end comment, by the way.
It comes from me. I'm being completely honest. I was at work with, I was on set for the campaign that we're shooting for Back to College for the end of this year. And it's a really big campaign. And I saw some of your posts this last week, and I was showing like my art director and my, you know, people I was on set with. And I was like, oh, this is my friend and he's a co-host of my podcast. And this is some of the work he's been working on lately. And they were like, wow, that looks really good. And it looked very like very well done and super. See, I don't know how else to say, but high end. It looked luxurious. Well,
here's the thing, party people, when you've been doing this job for a while, things that look very high end, if you were to take everything in the periphery of that camera and behind the camera and see what was going on, it's an absolute shit show.
Absolutely. You should have seen like all the imagery. I'm really proud of all the stuff we did on set for the back to college thing, but it was a mess in the periphery. Like it was just like a total mess.
Oh, on Monday I was in London at Russell Norman's new restaurant, Brutal, shooting there during lunch service. I had to stop at one point because I was using a strobe.
Right.
People weren't too keen on a strobe. not even with a softbox, with an umbrella.
Oh boy, yeah.
Just hard light. Blinding people. So I ended up using a tripod with a remote and using natural light, but 5, 6, 7, 8 second exposures. Yeah, but the photos looked sick and I got to use that natural light instead. So
they do.
That's another thing you learn on set, is that you want to have the tools for the possibilities at all times. Like, you don't want to be shafted at any way. Because I knew there that I knew it was dark in there, but I knew there was going to be some natural light, but it was going to be really dark, and I could get the shots if I had a remote trigger and a tripod.
Were you shooting this with the X-T4?
With the X-T4, yeah. Which I've become like, honestly, stupid little things on that camera, like just being able to flip the screen and stuff, just when you're shooting like overhead.
Yeah.
It's stuff I wasn't, and it's just, and I find myself doing these things now and becoming completely like, yeah, just overwhelmed with happiness with this, about this camera.
When like, a camera just works the way you want it to, and it just
today
happens
I was shooting for a barber shop today. Well, they're rebranding as this as a genderless barber shop, because the point behind it being that women have to go to hairdressers and spend a lot of money getting, you know, regardless of, whereas now they can pop into this place, get a haircut for half an hour or whatever for much less money. Anyway, I was shooting for them, doing model shots for them, and I just kept looking at the back of the camera going, oh, these are so good. Like, like just the way that camera renders images with,
it's special.
Oh yeah, man. And that,
so you're
that,
happy with the decision to go with the Fuji system?
Look, I know that you're going to take credit for it.
And no. I know your preferences in certain ways. I know what you like. I know what your goals are. So I could recommend something, and like, it was kind of a no-brainer because I knew the system so well. But also, like, if I would have recommended like a Sony camera, like, you could have totally gone that direction too. But I think that your sensibilities as far as like capturing images are the same as mine. Like, you don't want things to be overly sharpened. You don't want things to be,
no.
You want everything to be as naturalistic as possible. Like I do.
Yep.
And like, you know, in my career, I could have gone full Canon, full frame, you know, for the rest of my career. I did that in the beginning, but when it came down to it, you know, this worked for me, so I figured it might work for you. And you know, you had the opportunity to try it anyways, so it's not like I was like, you have to get this.
Yeah,
it wasn't me, it was just a suggestion I made. But
I think that to be fair to you, like I took your advice like very, you know, I took it very seriously. But the thing that I love about it that I didn't think I would particularly care about is the film presets on them, because I shoot them in this particular preset, and I don't really do much editing.
Are you doing like a Eterna?
The color grading. No, I've done some video though. But that's another thing. I've started shooting some video. I've learned how to shoot video. I made a little mini. I made a 3-minute documentary of me in my house just for something to do. Mm-hmm. Like, because I'm learning how to do that. Because I want to. Because I've got this camera that can do it. It's awesome.
Yeah, it makes it easy.
I'm trying to think of anything else I've been up to. I've got my phone back, right? So,
congrats.
I've not had my phone for 3 months. I'm not going to tell you why, but I've just not had it for 3 months. And which is why the Spooky Park Bench Instagram has been really, 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 really boring because I haven't been doing it.
And because I won't.
That's a joke, babes. Do babes. It. Babes, that was a joke. But I haven't been doing it. So, there'll be more of that going back on. I'm trying to think what else I've been doing. I got a Deftones tattoo.
You did, and I've been meaning to talk to you about it because it's a big thing that you did and with no consultation. But we've talked about Deftones before.
Yeah, because they're awesome.
Yeah, and I'm just so happy for you because it's a sick tattoo. That's one of the band tattoos I would actually consider getting because it's like so iconic.
So me and my mate Monroe, we've been buds for about 25 years. And for the last few while, we've been talking about getting the white pony, just the outline of that as a tattoo. Mm-hmm. Now, I've got quite a lot of tattoos and, you know, I'm at that stage with tattooing where I don't really care what tattoos I get. Just tattoo me. It's fine. and the really interesting thing about this was that we had this conversation on a Sunday night in Brighton. We were sitting, and for the first time in my life, I was sitting deciding on doing something quite stupid the next day, and I was sober while doing it. and was able to wake up in the morning and be excited when I woke up in the morning and be like, yes, getting tattoos. Not wake up in the morning and be like, oh my God, what the hell did I decide to say I was going to do last night? It was done. I can't say the same for Monroe, to be honest, but I was definitely sober. Went and got the little white pony. He got hit on his leg. I got mine on my arm.
Let's see it because the Patreon subscribers will see this video. See, that's a great placement. I can see it's a little bit red there. Yeah.
It's a little bit red. Looks good. But, you know, I feel like Chino Marino and me and Abe Cunningham, one of the best drummers in the world, we could probably become friends now because of it.
I can do an entire podcast episode on his, just talking about his snare drum.
Oh.
Because it's just such an iconic sound. That sound defined, like, the new metal, that, quote unquote, it's that, sound.
It's that dull tightness. Do you know what I mean? Yep. It's like a thud.
The beginning of Digital Bath. Like, that's like the Deftone sound. Like, like that whole, we're not going to get into it, but you know what I mean?
No, and also if you listen to his bass drum, it sounds like he's going to put a hole in it with every beat. It's like must be his stamping foot, that thing through.
His foot he's got a lead foot for sure. But we could talk about Deftones for a long time, but a lot of stuff has happened in the film photography world recently that we should probably talk about a little bit, right?
Let's do that.
We've got how many new films stocks? We've got two for sure. New ones. So Cinestill's 400D and Kodak's, well, I guess not new, but new version of the Gold 200 in 120, mm-hmm. which everyone has their opinions on it. But bottom line, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. Having a consumer film stock in 120 available to anyone is incredible. And from what I've seen from early pictures from like the beta testers and people have gotten hands on it, it looks like gold. It looks cool. It looks great. So I'm happy.
I'm hyped because, like, I think it's a film. Do I love Kodak Gold? Because it's a film that, this is going to sound really stupid and clunky, but it's a film that looks like film.
You're right. That's like the easiest way to kind of like describe it. Cause it looks like what you imagine when you think of film, like the platonic ideal of what film looks like, because it's got that warmth. It's mm-hmm. kind of vintagey looking in a vague way. Yep. It kind of embodies your first visceral thought of like what film looks like, exciting.
I think a lot of people edit digital photographs to look like portrait. Well, that, you know, quote unquote portrait look. Whereas I think Kodak Gold is a very specific look.
It's very reminiscent of like point and shoots from the 90s. Like
100%.
Like when I think of, like, you know, my parents taking photos of us when we were kids, it was sometimes Superior, most of the time Kodak Gold. And so all of my childhood memories are like a sheen of Kodak Gold.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
It's basically the only film I put in point and shoots. Like,
yeah,
I'll put in color plus sometimes, but basically it's Kodak Gold.
We all know my allegiance to Superior, but that's not to say.
I thought your allegiance was to Ektar.
I mean, I'm talking about consumer films, but yeah. But so, you know, I love Superior, but when it comes to, you know, there's no like, oh, I like Superior and everything else sucks. It's like Superior is my favorite for whatever reasons. And then Kodak Gold's just like a classic. It's the classic film look.
Yeah, you know? Totally. It's it looks so good with flash.
It does look really good with flash. And it's so interesting to me that Kodak decided to go with this emulsion in a 120. I know practically why they would probably do it, you know, because they still make it. The emulsion is still made. They can easily cut 120 from the masters. Like, it's not like they had to, you know, redo an entire emulsion to, like, you know, so that it makes sense. But I think it's important that they chose gold to do this because they're realizing that there needs to be a consumer film that's widely available so that there's more access to more people. Like, it's cheaper than Portra. We can get into the argument about like what cheap film means these days, because obviously that's changed a lot, but it's a cheap film, cheaper than going with Portra or Ektar, another professional film. It doesn't look worse than those films. It just is a different look, and it's a classic look. You know, a lot of people love shooting medium format now. Medium format's way more accessible than it used to be. This makes it even more accessible. Mm-hmm. And that accessibility angle is like, I think, a huge win for Kodak and for the film community.
Yes.
So
I completely agree with all sentiments.
Yeah. And then 400D from CineStill, which I think is super interesting because that's a new emulsion that is like a hybrid, I guess, of like Vision 3 and other technologies, which is kind of what Portra is. Portra has some Vision 3 stuff from there and then also some other stuff. So it's kind of like interesting. I'm really interested to see. So I've got Jackie ordered gold and the 400D. So we have both coming to the house sometime soon. So I'll get my hands on it, but I'm really interested to see what that film's going to be like, how it's going to behave, what it's going to be like to process it. Cause it's not going to be cross-processed like 800T. It's going to be a true C41 film, so I'm really interested to see what that looks like.
How are you guys with C41? Oh, you'll be fine. Like, finding C41 chemicals here right now, really difficult.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder why that is.
Everywhere is just sold out constantly.
Weird. Have you tried? I mean, I know like Freestyle and B&H shoot send overseas. I don't know how much more expensive that is.
I think you'd be paying, you know, the same cost again at least for
packaging. It's 100% just for that. Yeah, that sucks. No, C41's good here. My local camera shop carries the CineStill chemicals, so I have that going on. I had to order E6 from Los Angeles from Freestyle because no one out here has it.
I've got some E6. I just don't have C41.
Yeah. That's weird. I wonder, so is it even like the powder stuff or just CineStill stuff, or is it like any kind of C41?
The powder stuff. I tried to get some color tech, couldn't get hold of that. Plenty of E6, but no C41. Cool story, huh?
That's a bummer. Sorry to hear that. That sucks. But hopefully they alleviate that soon.
But no, I'm excited about the Kodak Gold. I haven't even tried to get a hold of any yet.
Get on that.
Maybe I will get on it. I had I shot a roll of black and white the other day. I forgot it. I thought it was color, but it was black and white. I put some T-Max and just I looked at the packaging and wasn't thinking about it. Thought it was Portra, chucked it in. Anyway, shot it, realized it was black and white. So I was like, oh, cool, I'll develop it. Mm-hmm. And the last like three rolls I've developed from 120, the last two and a half, I didn't tell you this. So I told you about the problem I was having with the last 2.5 frames not being exposed correctly. Remember?
Right. Yeah.
So literally the last 2.5 frames, there was like a line
in the
like
RB
from the RB. Yeah. And there was theories kicking about supposed to use wood bend. It was like, maybe it was the back, whatever. And, I was sitting here at this desk and to my right, I've got this shelf And on the shelf was the old reels from the Patterson tank sitting on the little, on the, you know, the well, I don't know what it's called, the little
spindle
thing that it sits on.
Yeah.
And I was looking at that and I saw that the two rolls were sitting on there, the two reels, whereas my new reel was sitting in the tank. And I realized I hadn't been putting it on the cylinder that sits in the middle.
You've been just chucking them in there.
Just chucking raw? It in there without the cylinder. So I'd put the film on the on a reel, on a new reel that I'd bought.
Yeah.
I hate the Patterson ones because they were so fiddly. So I got this new one. I think it's the same as you. Rolled it on, but then I wasn't putting it on the
post.
The post. So there was a gap at the top. So light had been getting in and just getting into those 2.5 frames.
Oh, yeah, because they would be on the inside of the reel after you spooled it on.
Totally. I was just about to go down to Ben's and we were going to like try and figure it out. And I was sitting here and I looked to the right and I just went, oh.
Yeah, because you don't think about that. That's part of the light trap because the funnel goes into it and it mates together.
Yeah.
You don't think about it.
So there was a tiny gap and it was, I looked at it without it and I was like, oh shit, I can see in there. And then I put the thing together and I was like, oh my God, that was it. I've ruined like three, well, no, what, five,
dude,
7.5 shots.
Honestly, most of the time when something is not working for me and I want to blame a thing, it's like 99.9% user error. Like I had the same issue. Like similarly, I was scanning film and I had it on top of that that light source that I was talking about from Newer / whatever the other name is, but like that 4x5, well, it's not 4x5, it's bigger, it's like a 8x10 sized thing that I got for not very much, but it's a really bright, really good light source for camera scanning. So I've been using that, but then the last couple rolls I've been noticing that I've been getting this like orangey, and I'll post something on the Spooky Park Bench pod Instagram, but like these orangey little like blobs on the left side of the frame. And I'm like, oh shit, like there's something wrong with my film back or there's something wrong with whatever. I'm like looking at all these problems and I'm like, I can't figure out what's wrong with it. And on last night I'm sitting here, I'm scanning some film and it, sure enough, I can see it. It's happening. I'm like, what the hell? And then I moved the thing a little bit and then I realized that the little blob thing moved too. And I was like, wait a second, is that a fucking reflection? And I put my hand over in front of the lens. Sure enough, it was the light leaking from around the side of my film carrier and then were flaring out my lens. And so I was doing it to myself like an idiot. So I masked off the extra sides with gaff tape so it doesn't do that anymore. But it was like, I just was like so mad. I actually thought that the last two rolls that they had the issue, it was a Lomo 400. And I was like, oh, they gave me a bad batch of Lomo. Lomo's fault. Their film sucks. And then so I go back in and I rescan those two rolls. And sure enough, there's no problem with the film. It was my stupidity.
What's the funny is, you know, you spend this time, like especially when you're developing, you spend time like getting your chemical, your water temperatures right. And you're spending all this time doing everything like finicky. And then I forget to just like put the tank together correctly.
The simplest thing. The simplest part.
And I just couldn't. And I was going, why would it be the back? It can't be the back because the back would have da da da. I was like, it can't be that. And I was like, I can't. But then it's also, I've got three different rolls of film. So it's not like it's a bad film batch. I just couldn't for the life of me figure out. And then, total moron error.
We're morons.
We are morons. We've got no right to be doing this.
Nope.
You want to talk about something on the tweets?
Oh, yeah. So I've been on Twitter a lot more recently just because of all the stuff that's happening in Ukraine. And just like,
and Jackie, just because I'm interested.
Yeah. And just because I'm interested in like what people are talking about. Twitter famously is like the best place to go for bad takes on everything. So like, it's mostly that. And I know that. And so, but there is some stuff that's interesting. And I'm also following a lot of like film people there. So it's a great place for film community stuff. But,
and Brian Burks.
So Jamie Maldonado is a photographer I follow. You guys might know him. He has a YouTube channel as well. He's been on some podcasts with like Lucy Lumen and great photographer, cool guy. This is something he tweeted this morning, and this is not me calling him out. I just think that this tweet is an interesting conversation. Jamie didn't say or do anything wrong. He's a lovely guy, great photographer. I just thought that this was interesting and I thought it would warrant a conversation. So he tweets, there's an awful film photography memes Instagram that has 38K plus followers. And I think it's the most actively It's actively the most destructive account for this community. There's another one that's more successful in the same stated intent that hasn't even seen over 10K yet. Wish I had the following to wage war. And then he follows up. I should add that sub 10K account is successful because it's actually better at being satirical without being overly negative or gatekeeping, at least in most recent posts. So I initially thought he was talking about Analog Repeat, which I think it is part of this conversation. But let me go back and find it because I just looked at it. Where are the likes? Sheesh.
Sheesh, indeed.
Posts. Oh, I have to go find. Because you can go and see on Instagram what stuff you've liked. Settings, posts I've liked. Where is that? They change stuff so much that you can't find the stuff you want to find easily. There was a thing in here where you can go post you've liked. Saved. Oh, Jesus. Dead this air. Is great. This is great content. This is great content.
I am having an absolute ball.
I know. But it's this other account, and I literally just looked at it. Oh, Jamie, where is it?
Jamie.
He has accounts. Friends, personal information. I hate that Instagram does this. They change their... Because there's your activity, but then it's like time spent, photos and videos, interactions. Okay, here we go. Likes that I've gotten or given. Okay, so it seems to me that he's talking about Analog Photography memes on Instagram, which is an account that has 38.3K followers. And he's saying that's the most destructive account for the community because it's mean, essentially. And basically what's happening is we've seen this influx of new accounts that are memes aimed at the film photography community, usually in a satirical fashion. The reason I bring up Analog Repeat is because that one has been particularly active and people have been talking about that one a lot, and it's grown quite a bit in the last few years. And it brings up this question of like, do we have a problem in the film community where people are too mean or critical, or do we have a problem where we have no sense of humor when it comes to ourselves? Like, we can't laugh at ourselves because I was just going to say, like, to me, I understand his where he's coming from, because I think that there are people who are just like a bummer who would rather like talk shit or complain about what's not going their way than actually engage with the community. But then on the other hand, it's like there's this thing where it's like almost a toxic positivity where everything is like fire, or everything 100%. Is like, you know, fire emojis. And it's like, if you don't play that game where you get in with the right photographers and like prop up their work, then you won't get your work propped up. And then it becomes this like insular inside baseball club where you're either in it or you're not. And the only way
it's like a fucking pyramid scheme.
Well, yeah, I get why people want that. Right. They want to feel included. They want their work to be seen. They want to be a part of something. But then there's this other angle where it's just like, okay, that's valid. But is it too far to make memes about things that are, I don't know, photography related?
Is it fuck? There you go. There's my opinion. Like, it's a fucking joke. Like, I think that if you're, these are like, having a quick look at it there, right? These are generic jokes based on generic stereotypes.
Sure.
If you're offended by that, then be offended by it. Like, that I can't really, that's my take on it. Like, I am every fucking cliche in the book, right? Like, I work in coffee, I have tattoos, I shoot film, like, but yeah. I'm also just a photographer. Like, I take lots of photos on digital. I shoot. I don't class myself as a film photographer or as a digital photographer. I'm just a photographer. And like,
but see, isn't it funny how we have to qualify all of that stuff before
that's
you
what
even
I mean.
Have the conversation.
But like, what's happened to the point of people just being photographers? When have you had to
it's not enough.
Like a, exactly.
You have
but
to,
then what?
You have to be everything.
But does a film photographer, if you're a film photographer, does that mean you have to dress a certain way? You have to have a certain Instagram account. You have to do whatever else. Can't you just be a fucking photographer and be happy with it? Like, and then like, what's to say that people that go out on in the weekend wearing, you know, cargo trousers and shooting pictures of flowers in the woods, what's to say that like they're not photographers? Like, mm-hmm. and they're not as valid. Like, they'd look at those things and then be like, oh, these fucking trendy wannabe photographers who don't know who Ansel Adams is, you know, wearing just because they're wearing a Carhartt hat, they think they're a photographer. Like, there's a you are not, we, like, there's no right and wrong answer. This is a stereotype. Yeah. They're and like, if you can't laugh at the fact that you might fall into that stereotype, like, I just looked at some of those there and I was like, yeah, I'm guilty of some of that. And like, it's mm-hmm. funny. Like, and if it's not, like, you've got to be able to step back and look at yourself and be all right with the fact that, do you know what? Fucking hell, I take a couple of these boxes and I look like a bit of a bell end sometimes. Like,
yeah. Well, on this, so that's the conversation too. That's like a broader conversation of like, what is it to be a photographer or a film photographer? But I think what's happening too is a lot of people I've seen railing against, like, for instance, specifically Analog Repeat. Because what Analog Repeat does, for anyone who doesn't know, they have like a little gallery. Every post is like a grid of images that are all very similar. So one of them will be all basketball hoops. One of them will be all the picture of the Golden Gate Bridge from Baker's Beach. All of them mm-hmm. will be like, you know, the same type of portrait. And what they do is they post all those and then tag the photographer whose photo it is. So everyone who has a photo in that grid gets tagged. And then there's like a joke about like how photographers in film pretty much rip each other off constantly.
See,
and reiterate
cool.
the same thing. And so the backlash there is that person who runs that account is being cruel or mean or negative, right?
That's but because it's
my
personal.
Take it is it, right. So is that what the line is? Is that if it's personal, is it is that it's not
at
okay?
At that point you're calling out an individual. Like, I think it's
so,
all right.
Yeah.
Agreed. I think it's all right to call out a movement or a tribe or a stereotype. I think when you start pulling up individuals to take the brunt of the abuse, to basically become an unwanted spokesperson for an entire group, right? Like, you're putting the weight of all this on them, on this individual, for them to deal with. And this could be somebody that's just learning how to take photos.
Well, typically that's not what's happening. What's happening is it's typically taking like larger Instagram accounts and putting them into those grids. Like Joe Greer has been in them, like Corey Wolfenbarger. I'm probably saying his name wrong. Sorry, Corey. And other Instagram accounts that are larger, people that have larger followings, those are typically the target of these posts, right? And the posts aren't calling them and saying like these people fucking suck. What they're saying is like, look at the sameness of these things, which that's one conversation, right? Like, yes, there's a lot of sameness happening in film photography, which is kind of neither here nor there, but that's another conversation. I think the thing is, if you are a big photographer and you do these specific things and do kind of like follow these tropes and kind of like follow this thing, is it kind of like, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to take responsibility if people realize that that's what you're doing? Cause like these jokes, these things that the Analog Repeat are putting on these posts, they're not things that people don't talk about in private conversations. They're taking these private conversations about all the sameness and just putting it in an Instagram account for everyone to look at. So it's kind of like, are people mad that they're being called on their bullshit publicly? Because that's what it seems like. And the other end of it too, Joe Greer famously blocked that account and was really not happy with that account calling him out. And that looked really bad for him. Like, people on Reddit have made threads being like, Joe Greer's a coward and a baby let this guy call him out.
Yeah.
Which I don't see. I don't think that's not my, opinion. I do think that there is a level of like, you have to kind of like, cooler heads prevail. Like, even if someone calls you out for some trope that you're really like milking, you should be funny. You should be able to be like, haha, yeah, I did do that, 100%, but I like
man, like,
but some people can't, right?
No, so but then that's on, I don't know, look, I'm a total misanthrope with these things. I'm just like, well, look, that's on you. Like, if you're going to put yourself out in public and you're going to do certain things, then just be willing to take the, you know, take some shit that's going to come your way. And what's the worst that's going to happen? Someone you don't know says you're a dick and your photos are shit. Bothered. Move on. Like, who cares? Like, literally, right. Who cares? Like, and I think that, like, a meme account, really? It's 2022 and, like, we're bothered about a fucking meme account?
I personally, if I took a photo and I got ended up on Analog Repeat, I'd be honored in a way, because I think that it's kind of funny to be included in, like, yep, you're right, I did take that photo of, like, you know, in Dumbo, New York, of the fucking Brooklyn Bridge. I did that.
But also, who cares if you did? If you did and you liked the photo, what does it matter? Like, the end of the day.
And, but then it gets more complicated, because I think that some things that I see on Instagram, things that are trending, things that, like, are hot, are things that are, like, very much same. Like, there is a photo, there's an Instagram account of a photographer who I'm not going to name. They post primarily, they live in a place where photography is very easy, and they post the very easy things all the time. And their work, I think, broadly is very amateurish and not, like, composition wise.
I'm going to take it. I'm not going to say who I think this is, but I think I know who you're talking about.
I'm sure you do. And their work is very prevalent right now, because some of their stuff has been featured places, and they keep being featured and, like, involved in these things. And for me, as a photographer who's been working all my life, who's been very hard to be working very hard on, like, making images that are pleasing, I look at their work and I go, sure, this would impress me when I just started photography and, like, had I don't know anything, but I'm looking at it now and I'm just like, there is nothing special about this work. And it really pisses me off that is what everyone is like, this is really good. And I'm talking to other people who are photographers and I'm like, are you seeing this composition? This sucks. Like, you really think, is this really what we're holding up as, like, the best of what we have to offer from our community? But I can't fucking say that, because then I'm a dick. But I also don't want to. I don't want to call that person out. I don't want to publicly be like, your work sucks. Because my feelings about that person's work, what I just kind of came to is, like, their work's not for me. I don't really like their work. It doesn't need to be said publicly. I don't need to make them feel bad so that I can say that, right? That doesn't need to happen.
I just think we live in this fucking state of, like, social claustrophobia where we can't be ourselves. We can't actually say what we want. And it's just like, why? Yeah. Right? Like, we have everyone's got access to a platform, right? So therefore that makes it difficult, because that means that everyone thinks their opinion's valid, or that anyone gives a shit what they actually think about anything. I mean, we're two guys sitting,
including me, I'm on,
well, we've got a podcast,
I'm on YouTube,
right?
We have a podcast. Yeah,
exactly. Right. So I'm not dismissing myself from this at all. I'm self-aware enough to know that, you know, that's the case. But, like, if you're going to put work out in public, subjective art, I mean, it's art, it's subjective. If you're going to put it out in public and anybody dares to say it's shit, who cares? Let them. Like, if somebody calls out your account and or says that your work's shit and you block them for it, get a grip of yourself. Maybe it's an idea at that point to go, oh, maybe I could try doing something a different way, actually. Maybe I could start seeing this a different way. Maybe my work can change. Maybe it can progress. Maybe
like, this is my work and someone noticed it and didn't like it, and it's like, cool, that person knows what they like and recognize that my work is not for them, and that's a moment that you can just
and that's leave fine. It's fine right. And also, have we stopped making work for ourselves? Like, have we stopped, is it just for validation from other people? Like,
I mean, if you look at Instagram, that's all that is.
Yeah.
And you look at what's trending and you look at, like, who's popular, that's what it is. It's fine that it's that, but it's also, like, you have to contextualize, like, you know, me being like, oh, I'm a working photographer who works in the studio, that makes my work more relevant. Well, no, it doesn't. That just makes it, that's just what I do. But, like, that doesn't make someone whose favorite thing to do and, like, the thing that they like is to, like, walk around and take pictures of, like, cars or flowers or whatever, doesn't make their work any less relevant or important. It just happens to be that the thing that's trendy is this subset of things, and that's all you see.
Yeah.
And there's not like a lot of exploration outside of it. And if there is exploration outside of it, it's just not being represented because it's not the trend.
Right? I also think like what if you if you're genuinely bothered by a meme account, one, don't look at the meme account. And two, what right. kind of utopian world do you think we live in where people can't take the piss out of it, especially something as trivial as photography? Like, it's not like, you know, it's not like it's a major like life or death subject. It's you know, it's photography. And like,
I also think that
it's a huge part of my life, and it's yeah. the thing that I you know I am borderline obsessed with still. But like, if somebody wanted to take the piss out of my work or being a photographer, where I don't care,
right?
And like, that's it.
And the thing is, too, there's this feeling that goes around that I noticed that, like, photographers, film photographers are just beyond reproach. Like, you can't – like, if you have critiques, valid or not, it's just you being toxic. It's not a critique. Like, if yeah. I go – because – but the other side of that is if you go onto someone's Instagram account, their account, and feel the need to tell them you don't like their work, that's mm-hmm. also – not necessarily. That's no, you going out of your way, right, to like yeah, critique someone's work when the critique is not necessarily asked for. Like if I go to Brian Chorsky's account on one of his pictures and go, hey, Brian, take pictures other than something like this, like do something different. Like,
God, that's you get him not, so good. You get him so
that's
good.
That's not me making a good point and critiquing his work. Honestly, that's just me being a dick and like going to his personal account and being like, you should do something to make me feel good. It's like, why? That's There's it. No fucking
that's,
point in that.
That's the crux of it. It is literally all about you as the individual. It is all about how right. you feel about yourself. It's got fuck all to yeah. do with somebody else's work. It's yeah. got literally how you feel about yourself. You need to validate yourself and your work by pissing on somebody else.
Right. And that sucks. If you that, need to, if you need to feel better sucks. About your work by bringing someone up and being like, this sucks, then yeah, you suck. But
I agree.
If you have a meme account where you put a bunch of things together and go, look at the sameness of the photo community. Look exactly. what's happening in photography. That's fine. Because there needs to be open conversation and critique about how lazy and how mm-hmm. same everything can look. And the community and the community has a real problem with like taking critique in that way, not the critique of someone going on your account and being like, I don't like this, but critique of like people pointing out, like, look what the trends are and look how tired they are. If you mm-hmm. can't look at that and be like, oh, that's true, I'm just feeding into a trend, I should explore more. If that you take that personally and use that as like a reason to like rail against the meme account, we're looking at a problem with ego and not
that's it.
Having an open mind. Really?
100%. It's down to that. It is down to bruised egos. It's down to, it's just down to that. And it's like,
and I do think we do need people to be positive about certain things. I think that we need to do things like uplifting women, uplifting people of color, women of color, uplifting like, you know, black photographers, uplifting like these people that need to be recognized for the work that they're doing mm-hmm. and who don't actually all the time benefit from these trends. Right. So, you know, if you look at these trends, you look at these photographers, they are a bunch of white dudes for sure. So in that conversation, it's like, not only is this the same bullshit, but it's all white people. Like, what else is out there, right? Like, maybe we are part of the problem if we can't have that conversation seriously or even laugh about it. Can we please just laugh about the fact that every fucking photographer who lives in California can aim their camera in any direction and get a fire photo? There's no, I made a tweet this last night saying that every photographer from California should live in the Midwest for a year. Like, because I think that's funny, because I think that it's for more than half the year, it's like dreary and cloudy and dark here. My phone blew up. People thought there's so many conversations happening around that. But that's just me thinking like, yeah, I'm from California. I know how easy it is to like go to Ocean Beach, snap a few photos, even if they're relatively bad, they're still going to be good, or people are going to like them because it's California, beautiful light. The area is beautiful. The buildings, the beach, everything in that area is beautiful. So it's like not hard to make good work out there, but it is very difficult to challenge yourself to come somewhere where it's dark most of the time to make good film photos, you know?
I watched when the Kodak Gold came out in 120, you know, I watched a couple of like reviews of it on YouTube, and I was just like, every photo like I saw as an example, I was just like, nah. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I was looking at the same thing over and over again. I was just like, oh, okay, yep, here's another.
Oh, yes, yeah, sunlight in California. How novel. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, cool, right. Can I see how Kodak Gold looks on a gray day somewhere, please? Or like, you know.
Not
like,
good.
Doesn't.
Not great.
No.
If you have a film that's naturally a little bit more warm and you take it out and shoot it, like every photo I take on film that I take outside an overcast day, I got to cool it off a little bit or it looks grungy. It doesn't look good. So it's
I think basically my take on it is that the film I fucking even hate saying the film community. It just all this stuff bothers me. I'm like, I just want, why can't people just be photographers? Like, I don't like this split community thing, and that's just me personally. I understand why people like it and why it's a thing, and it's totally fine. I find the labeling of it, like, I find it,
it's because people need to feel like they belong to something.
I just find it quite detrimental. I find it quite exclusive, and I find it like to photographers. I think it, that's just my take on it. But like, I think that people take themselves far too seriously.
Me included. There are times I have to step back and be like, why do I care about this? Because it's not serving me to care about what other people say. I was going to say earlier too, in the fine art community, if you paint something and the community at large doesn't like it, they'll fucking tell you. They'll tell you your art sucks. They'll compare you to classical Renaissance artists. They'll tell you it'll never sell. They'll go to your gallery and be like, this is derivative bullshit. But if you do that to a photographer, tears.
Yeah.
And I'm myself included. If someone came up to me and said your work is derivative bullshit, I'd be like, oh, like I would feel it in my heart and I'd be like, I want to die. But that's the problem. We are so... No one should be doing that, even in the art world. No one should be walking up to someone and being like, oh, this bullshit. But
I don't know.
Trend,
I'm kind of into that. Even if
and
it
I don't,
me, I'd just be like, cool.
I think, I don't know, on an individual level, no. On a trend level, on a what's cool now level, yes. If you took a bunch of pictures and put them in front of me and I didn't know who they were from and there's no indication of whose images they were and I just had to look at them and tell you what I thought about them, I could totally be like, I don't like this trend. This trend is derivative and boring and bullshit. And I'm so sick of seeing this, but I'm never going to like be like this photographer, their work is derivative bullshit, because no one deserves that unless the photos they're taking are like gross and like, you know, exploitative or something. Like if there's a photographer who's exploiting women and it's obvious, it's like, hey, this photographer is a fucking disgusting piece of shit, but no one's, you know,
Are we, we're not talking about him.
Terry Richardson.
Yeah, he's a fucking horrific human being. He needs to burn in hell. There we go. That's my hot take on Terry Richardson.
How is that a hot take? That's just like a fact.
I know, and I use the same and I use the same camera as Terry Richardson. Disgusting.
Here on Spooky Park Bench, we are talking about facts. Terry Richardson's a piece of shit. Any other facts you know? Water is wet, sky is blue. What else you got?
Oh, Terry Richardson's a piece of shit.
Mm, yeah, that's also a fact that we know. Anyway...
People talk about the Yashica T4 and they talk about it being a great camera and all these cool people that have used it. Unfortunately, Terry Richardson uses it and has made it quite famous.
Yep. I guess to wrap that conversation up, I really just wanted to kind of highlight, like, Jamie, thank you for inspiring this conversation. I don't think you're wrong. And I don't think it's a wrong or right situation. I think it's like contextual. I think it's a contextual thing. I think that by and large, the film community needs to have a much better self-awareness and sense of humor about itself, because we just trope everything. Everything's a fucking trope, and we need to be able to point that out and laugh about it.
Also, take it as a little wake-up call to be able to stand back and look at yourself and go, wait a minute, am I actually just marching along with this band here as opposed to doing something for myself?
And we don't need to take yourself so seriously.
Am I offended? Because what they've just said is actually fucking true. And it cuts me to my core that I'm not actually doing
it. That's what
it
is. Yeah. It's ego. Whenever I get offended about something that I've done and that someone points out and then I get offended by it, I think about what am I really offended by? It's because it's my ego. It's because I didn't get recognized or because someone, you know, took me down a notch. And in reality, like, I needed it or something. Hmm. And
someone, I'm offended because that Carhartt beanie I bought didn't make my pictures any better.
The Carhartt beanies aside, I just think that the trends in photography right now are really, really overly done. And it's just, it bums me out because it's hard to find new work that I'm excited about. There are people that I have found recently that I'm really excited about, but it's not easy because Instagram serves up the same shit.
I think just
and the same photographers even, all the time.
It's funny to hear about trends in, like, we think about trends in photography. It's like, you know, there's always been trends in, like, the fashion world and stuff, but, like, in the sort of fine art level.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really been a
case. You know what I want? You know what I think would be the trends I want to see in photography? I want to see people doing, like, really difficult scenes. Like building a scene that's really difficult, that takes, like, a crew and, like,
Gregory
storyboarding. Exactly. Like, stuff like that. That would be a cool trend because then you're seeing this, like, effort and artistic vision and creativity of, like, coming together with other creatives to, like, truly build something, not walking by a Victorian house in San Francisco and being like, oh, the sun's nice, and taking a picture, and that's, well, that's, like, 30,000
people. What people are missing out on is the fundamental understanding of how to use light as well.
But I mean, there is a good argument to be made that you should be a good custodian of photography, and you should be always learning, trying new things, having a base understanding of specific concepts. But then we start doing that and we start realizing that, like, okay, then we're going with the, like, higher learning. Like, unless you have this specific education level, you can't say a photographer, which is totally wrong. But what we should do is strive every day as photographers to learn something new, no matter what that is, and then to challenge ourselves. And I think what I'm seeing, the thing that frustrates me the most, is I'm seeing what's in the trends are types of photography that are not challenging. Mm-hmm. And therefore I have no interest in seeing that as much as I do. And it bums me out that the stuff that's really challenging, the photography where it's like someone taking a camera out, like, there's this guy I know, a friend of mine, it's actually a couple, they're a married couple. They go out to the desert every so often with this astrophotography thing that they really, like, tweaked the setup to do astrophotography with film. The husband, he does it on medium format. He's a Pentax 6.7 last time I checked. And they do really beautiful astrophotography, but it takes hours or days sometimes to, like, mm-hmm. get the right location, make sure everything works properly, figure out exposure, figure out, like, where in the sky they should be looking. Like, there's so much that goes into it. So then not only is the output more impressive, but it's like, you, when they say that they're passionate about it, you believe them because only someone with that level of passion spends that much time and effort and money to make images of the sky for that long. So I don't see that as, that's not trending, and it should be trending. That kind of stuff should be trending because that is much more interesting than, like I said, walking by a Victorian house in San Francisco at 4 p.m., right? That's not challenging. That's just being there at that time. Mm-hmm. So
I agree.
But there are photographers who do that. I like their work, you know, but why that's a trend, I don't know. I don't get it.
I've just enjoyed you coming to conclusion with yourself. It was quite nice.
Thank you. I like doing that. Yeah. I like finishing myself.
Gross.
Jesus.
Do we have any high notes to end on? Anything fun, anything positive?
Yeah, I think that, well, one thing we could take away from this conversation is that, we can laugh at ourselves and it's okay.
Yeah.
And we can notice that we're trending and it's fine. But that there are good things that photographers are doing. There's great photographers out there.
And I think it's good doing to be great hard things. On your, it's good to be hard on yourself. It's good to be able to stop and
you look just at why you're being good, being you're challenged.
Exactly. Yeah,
being challenged is a big deal and it's really drives things. We can end on the fact that we have new films. That's exciting. Oh, wait, we didn't even talk about Fugu film, the JCH slide film that's coming out. I'm so excited about that.
Look at you. You genuinely are. For anyone that can't see Christopher's face, he was genuinely really excited about that.
It's a new slide film or new-ish or whatever, however it is. It's another slide film that we're going to have. That's fucking cool. I'm excited.
Well, I am excited, but I'm a bit tired.
But you're tired because it's 8 p.m.?
No, it's not. It's like 9 and it's 9:05. And like, I've had a busy day. I've been doing like photography. I've been doing like stuff.
You have. You've been doing photography and stuff.
I've been doing photography and stuff, right?
I'm proud of you.
My car's broken as well.
Fuck.
I know.
My car is breaking every day.
Honestly, man, I'm having to just like, car's broken. My passport still hasn't arrived, by the way.
You haven't been here yet because your passport hasn't arrived and it's you don't have a date. You don't have a date when you're going to be here.
Oh, it gets even worse than that. I'm struggling to get that all sorted with it. Oh, I'm not going to go into it. It's too much of a faff. Basically,
we're having a hard time getting Mike to the United States, and it's not his fault.
It's
so
not my fault.
It'll happen. It's coming. It's happening, but we have to do some stuff first.
Blame the government. The government, basically, they love me too much, and they want me to stay in the
UK. Brexit. It's Brexit, isn't it?
I'm being Brexited. I've been Boris.
You're Brexited?
Oh, I've been Boris.
Son of a Brexit.
Boris right in the face. Right, I'm going to go.
Well, let's talk. Well, really quick, should we talk about our sponsor before we go?
Oh my God, that was so careless of me.
I actually wanted to tell you before we started that I wanted to start doing the sponsorship bump at the top of the podcast because I want people to be able to hear it before they click off the podcast at the end because some people don't listen all the way through.
Right, okay. Well, I'm not going to put it
next
start,
time.
But I will do next time.
Next
so
time.
So this podcast is sponsored by Newground Coffee in Oxford, a roastery that – are you having some right now?
Mm-hmm.
Are you? Which one?
I don't remember which one because I never remember which one it is, but it's the one with the peach label.
Peach
the card color. Is like a peach color. It's like peach or like
could
pinkish
be
or
Waka Woody, maybe.
Maybe it's very good.
Okay, good.
I'm running out. I need more.
Okay, I'll send you some more. Newground is a coffee roastery in Oxford that is also a social enterprise taking prisoners from inside the system and giving them opportunities in the field of coffee. So there are wonderful cause who make wonderful, wonderful coffee, as can be testified by my man in the red jumper in America.
They don't even pay me.
Don't pay them. They technically pay me, but that's not for the podcast. It's a job. Right. Anyway, you can get 20% off an order from Newground Coffee. If you go to their website, newgroundcoffee.com, and use the code SPOOKY20 at checkout, you can score 20% off. And guys, there's been some good orders going in, actually. Some good orders. Hefty orders.
Hefty.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of stuff you can go and buy from a website, Spooky Park Bench website, we have mugs.
We have a website.
We have a website that contains...
We haven't really talked about it yet. We have a website.
Oh, yeah. So we have a website now. That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
On it, you can buy... you can buy super cool caps, super cool black corduroy caps with a little Spooky Park Bench logo, and you can buy our Spooky Park Bench enamel mugs, which came about actually through a podcast conversation.
It's an inside joke. You have to go listen to that episode to understand it.
It was an episode that we were asked a fuck, marry, kill question, and that explains why the mugs say... fuck Adams, kill Soth. No, wrong. Fuck
other
Adams.
Way around.
Kill Soth. No, I got it so wrong. They say kill Adams, marry Soth.
Is right.
Yeah, yes. That's what they say. I've got a box of them right next to me.
Speaking of which, since you haven't been here yet, we don't know when you're going to be here. Can you send me a hat and a mug with the coffee you're going to send me?
Of course I can. Yes, obviously. Right, guys, it's been a pleasure. It's been great to be back, actually. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
This was great. We need to do this more.
It's been a bit difficult. So we're now back on. So I think what we're going to do probably is to record Sunday evenings from now on or afternoons for you.
Yeah. Yep. I think that works totally fine. And cool. I miss your face and talking to you. So we got to do this more. But we're back, guys. Sorry for the interruption of our stuff. But is this going to come out tomorrow? Is that what we're going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll do it tonight.
If you don't have time, we can do whatever. Anyway, okay, we'll talk after Tuesday. This. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. We love you. And we will see you in the next one.
See you all soon. Toodle-pip.
Toodle-pip.